So let's go to God in prayer to get into His Word. Father, we praise You and thank You for Your grace and Your mercy upon our lives. We ask, O Father God, that You continue to teach us to pray as Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Father, even tonight, we ask, O God, that a spirit of grace and supplication will come upon our lives in a strong and in a mighty way, so that we will move into the spirit realm, travail and possess that which belongs to us in the spirit realm. We thank You, Father God. We thank You and praise You, God, for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the discipline of prayer. The discipline of prayer. And prayer is a discipline and a habit we should develop. And it should not be something where we wait for a crisis or we are in a desperate situation and then we start praying. But perhaps most people are the desperate type. They may never go to something like maybe an overnight prayer unless they're in a real crisis, unless it's a life and death situation or major decision. I think this kind of thinking and this kind of Christianity is not worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to Him only when we are desperate and we have not moved into the depth of the discipline of prayer that God wants us to have. Well, at least that's a good start, and it's better than those who are desperate and don't even pray. And we must realize there are different standards in God that we could achieve. We could either be satisfied with a C minus, and some people are satisfied with that in a Christian life, and some people aim higher and go for B. And some people want to hit A with God. They want excellence with God. And that's where we want to reach. We want excellence with God. And we should not just be satisfied as we are. We should head more into the depths of God. And as we look into the Word, just want to share my personal experiences with you. From the early start of my Christian life, most of my prayers have been the desperate type, and we call that the desperado style. And I was tremendously hungry for God. And so when I seek God, I mean I really seek Him. And whatever it takes, and I will go on long travails and long fasts, and so it's a desperate thing. If I wanted to have God's anointing and power, I would go on a protracted fast and just seek Him day and night, day and night, day and night, just going after Him. And so that was the desperado style. And it has its result, it has its place. And as I grow in God, what I began to realize what God wants is that He wants us to develop a discipline in prayer so that as we mature in Him, there may be occasions when desperado tactics are necessary, but more because of circumstances beyond your control rather than things that you fall into yourself. And most of our Christian life should be based on the discipline in prayer where whether or not you have a crisis or situation, you have a regular time set aside to travail before God, to pray before God. And that's the purpose of this overnight prayer. Whether you have a crisis or not, you develop a discipline to come before God in prayer. Because what you do is what we call storing up. We don't realize some of the things that happen in the overnight prayer. And it's just like in the spiritual realm, operating the spiritual realm is like operating a bank account. Some people would try to make huge withdrawals from their bank account when they haven't banked anything in. Nothing in, nothing out. And so it would be very foolish to go to a bank and say that you want to draw a huge amount of money and when there's nothing but $2 in your bank. And the bank would not accept whatever you want, no matter how hard you cry, how hard you beg and go on the knees before the bank manager and say, please. And it wouldn't work because legally you do not have such an amount in your account. And so in the spiritual realm, what we are doing when there is no crisis is, in the discipline of prayer, we are making deposits. We're making deposits in the spirit realm. Through a discipline in prayer, by coming to God in a regular manner, we are putting a deposit in God. Then the time comes when you really need to draw on the spiritual realm, you find you don't necessarily need a desperado time with God. Where if you have not been making that deposit, you may need to go on a desperado, 7-day desperado with God, because you have not made those deposits in the spirit realm, and you need that withdrawal from the spirit realm, 7-day fast. But if you have been going through a regular fast, perhaps for the past 7 weeks, and it comes to the same thing. But the difference is your character is more stabilized. Some people's character are not very stable. They are up and down very quickly. God cannot use this type of character much. God will use them for a short time. But every time they're down, God puts them on the shelf. Cold freezer. Then when they're okay again, then they're taken out and then they're used. And then after some time they're down again, God puts them on the shelf again. So God in His love will use us as much as possible, but He will prefer that we be constant with Him so that His Spirit could flow and He could use us constantly without going through ups and downs. And I personally believe that God prefers that we have a consistent, disciplined walk with Him, then we have a up and down walk with Him. One moment, very close with God, holy, holy. So what are you doing? Fasting. 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 How long? 40 days. Wow, not bad. You're going very holy, holy. But after that fast, you know, throughout the fast, you were like an angel. And after the fast, you got what you want, you got some result, you backslide, behave like the devil. And everything around looks okay, you behave like the devil, you know. You don't seek the face of God. You don't attend Christian meetings anymore. And you don't fellowship with God regularly. Even your attendance in church is very sporadic. And so once in a blue moon they see you, which is not very often. And the next time they see you is the next crisis. And suddenly you attend church 7 days a week. Every meeting possible you attend. And then God in His mercy answers you again. You make great big promises to God. Your promises could actually fill the Bible. And so your promises are not as great as God. He backs His up. We sometimes don't back ours up. And make great big promises. So in your desperation, God in His mercy reach out to you. And He answer you. Then again, you went off on your holiday from God. and you went off again. And don't see you around again until the next desperate trip you have. And so some people are like that, and I thank God for each one of you who have developed a discipline in prayer in the overnight. See, sometimes people only do it when they're desperate. They will come to an overnight prayer when they're desperate. And when it's over, and the crisis is over, They're no more around. They treat an overnight prayer as something, as a desperado thing. But what is desperado to them is normal for another Christian. That tells you the different level that the Christians are walking at. And we should walk at a level where it's normal to pray overnight. In fact, if we compare ourselves with the way the early church had functioned and the way Jesus Christ had walked, we are quite far from where they are. To them, it was nothing to attend church 7 days a week. Praise God for one amen. There was nothing wrong to attend church. And nothing. See, the church and Christian life was a part of their own family, their own very personal life. They don't have off days from God. Every day was God's day. It was a part of their life. See, is that true? Yes. Have not you read the Bible where Paul says, in the Bible in Acts chapter 20, when he was talking to the elders at Miletus, the elders of Ephesians, and he says how daily, Acts 19 or so, he was daily at the school of Tyrannus, and how in the book of Acts chapter 2, that they met in the temple, how often they met daily, and also in the homes daily. It's a part and parcel of their life. And they don't need to wait for somebody to organize a meeting for them. No, it was a part of their life to just, you know, go around and say, hey, would you all get around to my house today and everybody gathers together? Just spontaneous. And they would just meet and they would pray together and they would worship God together and they would sing together and they would share together and then they would just fellowship together and that was their day. It was an everyday thing. And so that was the level that they live at. It would be nothing strange to just move on into nightly virgils with God. So let's look in the Bible at some situations in the book of Judges. After the death of Joshua, verse chapter 2, Judges, the book of Judges chapter 2, verse 7, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Then verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, they died, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. And it says in verse 11, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Now verse 7 of chapter 3, so the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Now verse 9. And these are all what we call the desperado commandos. They are only there in prayer when they are desperate. When one long name king... Kushan Rishathaim for Mesopotamia, and for 8 years they were away from God. 8 years they were oppressed and oppressed until, and the Malay word says, cannot tahan anymore, cannot stand it anymore. They desperado say, they cry in verse 9, help, Lord, help! Desperate. They really were desperate. And God is so nice, so kind, so merciful, so compassionate, so loving, so patient. And he reached out to them and he sent a deliverer. And then the land had rest. The Bible says in verse 12, and the children of Israel again be evil in the sight of the Lord. After Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So there comes Eglon, king of Moab. And verse 14, they served him 18 years. Verse 15, here comes the desperados again. The children of Israel cry to the Lord. Again, the Lord helped. Hope that doesn't sound like your life, your story. But it's the story of many lives. I wish to God that people will learn the discipline of prayer and a consistent life with God. And so the next, they had a deliverer sent by God. God answered them again. And chapter 4, verse 1. When Ehud was dead, when there was no one leading them, you see, what was the problem? They need someone who was consistent to lead the desperados. Let me tell you this. If every single one of us is a desperado, and every one of us happen to be at a time when there's no crisis, and then somebody else is in a crisis, and they look around, you know, there's nobody to go to. There's nobody to go to. If the Church of Jesus Christ functions in the desperado style, and everyone, including the ministers, are desperados, where can people get help? Do you know the help always comes from those who are consistent, that people could turn to? How would you like if a little child turns to their parents and say, I need help. I'm sorry, I don't feel like helping you today. Just don't feel up to it. How you like if you phone up for prayer and counseling? And the counselor says, I also need counseling, you know. How are you like if you go to the church and you want to get the word? And the minister stands up and says, hey, I need the word myself. Let's all sit down and listen to God. And on Sunday you go to the church and the minister says, alright, since we all have not been reading the Bible, let's all sit down and just quietly read one book of the Bible and then quietly we leave. See, it takes consistent people to lead the desperados. But what God wants is all of us to be consistent, to be disciplined. It's the army of God. We don't want desperados. We want people who are consistent with God to develop a persistence. Anyway, the story goes that when Ehud died, Israel again yo-yo downwards. And the Bible tells us that when they were down and out, in verse 3, chapter 4, children of Israel, here comes the desperado again, cried. And the Lord did it again. He did it again. Chapter 6, verse 1. After Barak died, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh no, here they go again. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. I know what the Israelites are going to do, don't you? So when things got bad, and times got really sorry, in verse 7, I want you to see here, don't try God's patience. It came to pass that the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites. The Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel and said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord, your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And this time God answers them, because he's going to raise Gideon up, but he also gives them a scolding while he answers them. And he gives them a spanking now. Before that, they cry, help! He helped. Help! He helped. Help! He helped. And he said, help! They naughty, naughty. Threw the prophets to it. And then he helped them also. I mean, how long can they go that way? What, think about from God's position. You know, this bunch of desperados, you know, who don't want you when they don't need you. Who want you only when they need you. How would you like to form a relationship with someone and call that love? That would be horrible. Well, there is Gideon. He did a wonderful job. And in chapter 8, you know the story by now. Gideon died. And verse 34, people sometimes have short memories for what is good and long memories for what is bad. And what do we mean? They don't forget the bad things or the wrong things that people do. But they forget all the good things that people do. All the wonderful things. Same way they did to God. In verse 34. Then the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. They did not remember at all. So the Bible tells us, they again turned away from the Lord, and this went on and on until one day in chapter 10 verse 6, then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Amnon, and the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. Well, they got into trouble again, the Lord. Yes, let them go. Verse 10. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Desperado again. We have sinned against you, because we have both forsaken our God and served the Baals. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, also the Sidonians and Amalekites and Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me? Now God said, I remember you, desperado to me. You cried out to me and I deliver you. Yet you have forsaken and served other gods. Therefore, look at verse 13. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Tell you, that's a sad day. It's a sad day when the Lord says, no more. I will not tolerate desperado tactics anymore. Full stop, the end. What else can you do? And you know the Lord gave them a suggestion. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. See whether they can help you. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. Verse 15, what else can the children of Israel do? They know that their gods didn't help them. Cry louder. This desperado guy, they really know how to get it going. And they said, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray. Look at verse 16. I want you to see the compassion of God. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. I don't know how long they did that. You know, although the Bible just put it as one sentence, it may be possible that they put away their, when God said, I will deliver you no more, they had a decision to make. When their desperate cries did not work, they had a decision to make. What are you going to do when you have cried and God answered, you cry and God answered, you cry and God answered, you cry and God answered, and then you cry and God say, I don't answer anymore. I have a little secret to share with you how to continue. When your desperado tactics don't work. I mean, you have fasted and fasted until you're blue in the face and things are not a persistent fast or consistent fast to get more into God, but you only do it in a crisis. And God has delivered you out of many crises. Pull you out of each one of them, but you were ungrateful. You forgot God. You forgot all that He has done. Hope that doesn't talk about your story. But I met some people that way. Make many promises to God. When God helped, they forgot. They forgot. In many areas. Some people could be in the area of finances. They're in a financial strait. They are very desperate. They'll do anything if God get them out. Promises, promises, promises. And when God help them, don't even remember the tithe, much less the offering. Then they get into trouble because if you keep 100%, 100% is blessed. You keep 90%, 90% is 100% is cursed. 90% becomes blessed. And you can do more with what God blesses than with what you keep, and it's all cursed. Then they get into trouble, then God comes again. Let me tell you, some people don't understand it, but a tie refers to everything that comes of any blessing. If I receive a natural blessing, let's say, of course, if somebody give you one share, you cannot take one cent of your share and give it out. Because then you have a hole in your shirt and you can't wear it, right? But let me tell you, the tie refers to all areas. Every time I receive, let's say, gifts from God, and I try to bless somebody else as a tie too. Somebody buys me a watch, I give away my watch or something. So that, you know, in the Bible, the tie refers to the finances, it also refers to all the things that they receive, your fruit trees and everything. So when people buy me clothes, I reach out and buy somebody else some clothes. Right? It's my tie of clothes. And you reap what you sow. Praise the Lord. You buy those clothes that people can wear 3 days and cannot wear anymore. When they put it in the washing machine, out comes the baby t-shirt. Blessed shall you be, as you sow, so shall you be. And anyway, we must understand that sometimes when God blesses in small or in big, we must, what I call, have a consistency. Consistency. We must be very, very consistent. And as I mentioned, the hardest things to handle are at the two ends. It's easy financially to tie when you receive an average. Let's say it's $500 or $1,000. and you tie one pen, $100 or $1,000, plus you give another 10% of offering, so it's $200. But the hardest people to find to be completely obedient are those who are very, very in great faith, where they receive $10 and is to stretch over a week, and that's their food. If their time means wasa, fasting, dying, it's not easy to make a decision to tie at that stage. But consistency. Say I must be consistent. And you still obey God. 10%, 10%, 20% goes up. Then the other hardest part is, let's say you receive $10 million. You know what's the tithe? 1 million. 1 juta. Do you know it's not easy to just give 1 million at one shot? Right? It's not easy. You could justify, say, God, this cannot be lah. I'm sure the tithe refer from $1 to $100,000. No way. Remember, consistency is the key to please God. Now here, in this person's life, in the Israelites' life, see, they have cried to God, they're desperados before God. And God said, I will not deliver you anymore. I mean, go and cry to your God. See if they can help you. What are they going to do? Desperado tactics in on work. I know some people cry for their family. I mean, they will cry for their family members, and it worked. When it worked, they will go back. You know that why I say there are different grades of Christian life you can live. Some people are satisfied to live at C minus. Some people only are satisfied when they live at the A plus. Some people like to barely make it to heaven. C8. Just barely make it. They live at P8 level. Just passing by 1 mark. And so, when they're desperate and they need God's favor, they will look for A plus. I mean their life. Here, A plus. Ding, 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 ding. Go for it. A blessing start coming. They say, oh, now the crisis is over. They go back. They live back at the P8 level. Just barely make it. Just barely make it. You know? And then, they may not have dropped off on God, but they live at that low level. Spirituality. And they only get back to God when they are desperate. Desperado tactic. One day, if you keep doing that all your life, God will have to deal with that part of us that we call consistency. So here is where God starts dealing with the Israelites. He says, I will not answer you anymore. I'm tired of your desperado tactics. That's my better phrase. You know what they did? They put away all their idols and they served God. They gave up trying desperado tactics. And instead, this is the decision they made. Although it's just one word, it may mean a length of time. And what, you see, if you say they serve God means a period of time at second place. Although it's just one word. God did not answer yet, but it was a period of time. Because it takes time to serve and give service. Look at it again, the book of Judges. Chapter 10, verse 16. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord. Past 10. They served the Lord. In other words, they gave up desperado tactics and they start living consistent life before God answers. Before God just put up with their desperado tactics. But now God wants to train them into consistency. So they put away all the idols Even though God said He's not going to answer. And then they were consistent for some time. When they started being consistent, the Bible says in verse 16, his soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. God is impressed with consistency more than desperados. Let me repeat that, because I'm speaking about the heart of God. You have a heart that wants to please God. God is more impressed with your consistency than He is with your desperateness. He is more impressed when you live a consistent life from Monday to Saturday than when you try to be desperate with Him, maybe on Saturday, and Monday to Friday you were like the devil, and then try to make up for that. He is more impressed with your life when you're living consistently with Him, with His principles, day in, day out, day in, day out. He's more impressed, even though you may have never, let me repeat, you may have never gone through a 40-day fast. You may have never gone through a 7-day fast. You may have never gone through a 3-day total fast. But you have a very disciplined, consistent life with God. You haven't missed a blessing from God. You haven't missed the blessings of God. If you could maintain, see, it takes as much to maintain a consistent prayer life, let's say for 3 years, and perhaps more, than it is to be consistent for just 1 month and maybe fast a period of about 14 days during that month. Which one has a greater price? Let me tell you, the one 3 years. The one who for 3 years maybe fast once or twice a week, which you multiply up, is more than that guy's desperado 14 days. And it takes more out of you to be disciplined throughout than once in a while. Takes more out of you. See, some people try to teach the word this way, where they don't spend much time in prayer, don't spend much time in the Word, but only when they are ministering or when you're supposed to teach a home fellowship or when you're doing something, then they quickly, oh, karabaja, kabaja, 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 pray before God. And the rest of the time, don't care, you know, watch TV, watch video, watch this. And expect God's blessing, it will not work. Let me share from my heart with you. It takes a greater price to live consistently in order to get the word for God's people. No one the price is that, because you can't do the things that people do. You can't afford it. Because you know, you have to choose and make a quality decision. You won't come down to what people will do. You won't read books that people would just waste your time on. You won't read the papers that people would just meditate every day. I'm not against reading the papers, you know, if you're in a business field, but you must know where to read. Some people just give an excuse. Oh, I'm in a business. I'm an engineer. I'm an accountant. And I'm in a real estate and I need to keep up to the news. Yes, but which part? Sometimes it's an excuse, right? What are they doing reading all those funny stories? There's nothing to do with real estate. Let's be honest. You could just easily tear out just the spot if necessary and put it there. So make use of these verses by all means. I mean, it's a part of the life and the business life. But let's be very honest with God. Some people spend a lot of time on the newspaper more than they spend on the Bible. And when the preacher says, pray 1 hour a day, read the Bible 1 hour, they say, I don't have time. I don't know where all my time goes. We know. You like us to follow you? Check up on you. Measure what you do from Monday to Saturday, right? And you'll find where all the time went. Half an hour went to the papers. Half an hour at the coffee table. Half an hour at the teh tarik. 1.5 hours gone. Another 30 minutes. Watching the news. 2 hours gone. Right? It's all there. Now, I look at the papers once in a while. But I cannot afford to look at it every day. I don't have the time. Where do you get all the news? Once a week, just pick up whatever is there. Just to get essential news. The rest are non-essential. And the price you pay to live that way makes you look very peculiar. People say, fanatic. Strange guy. Everybody in the world does this. That fellow doesn't do it. Tell you, it's a price. It's a greater price to pay to do that consistently, day in, day out, week in, week out, month to month, year by year, than it is to do everything you want and live like the world, do like the devil, and then when you're desperate, go aside to some mountain retreat somewhere, and for a whole month take a bottle of water and a Bible, some fruit, and go in. And for a whole month become the holy man of the mountain. And people will look at you and say, what a great price he or she paid. You come out looking like Elijah, because you're a man, you don't have time to shave. Put on a new goatee. Wearing a robe. Looking very holy. No doubt you will have contacted to a certain extent of God, but the price paid in comparison to consistent life is less. It takes more out of you to be consistent with God right there in the street. Right there in your offices. Let's recognize it. It takes a price to get up early and kneel down before God and pray every day. How many people can consistently do that? Right? It's a price to pay. And it's a discipline. Perhaps some of you do it in your offices, which I encourage people to do. You have a 1 hour lunch break. You don't need 1 hour to eat lunch, do you? And some people, we have encouraged them today and they've started doing it. In the lunch time, they may take 15 minutes for the food and then they take half an hour off to read the Bible and pray. And lunch time. It's the discipline. It's something that they work into their system or just to wait on God. And that's why they flow in. And I'm talking about those especially who are in the secular world. You work in the ministry, in our office, there's no lunchtime. You eat while you work. Or you go and grab lunch and you come back and work. Although we give people free that, you know, you have a normal lunch now. But especially in secular work where you're surrounded by all these worldly things, it makes a difference. But the price you pay to do that, what I call is the choices you have to choose. it makes a difference. But the price you pay to do that, the what I call is the choices you have to choose. Because there are hundreds of things that want to take your time. Say, hey, do this with me, do this with me, do this with me. Hundreds of things. But every time you choose no to the world and yes to God, it's a price you have made. And these are the consistencies that really touch the heart of God. Touch the very core of God's heart. See, there's a difference between King Saul and King David. King Saul was a man who was a desperado. When he is desperate, he really go for it. Sometimes get in a flesh in it. But King David was a consistent person. Consistent person. There's one black spot in his life, but otherwise he was a consistent person. Even for a shepherd boy, he was a worshipper of God. Daniel was another consistent person. The Bible tells us this is the discipline he keeps. That's why he reached such depth in his spiritual life. The book of Daniel, please. And we read chapter 6 of Daniel, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew, now there was a decree that said nobody can pray. What kind of decree is that? But anyway, they got a decree that said nobody can pray. Funny rule. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. In his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, which was a commandment in the Old Testament, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. As was his custom since early days. Wow. That's a long, long time for this man to keep that up every day. And some of those people whom I have also fellowship, whom I know that God is blessing their lives tremendously, I found it. Let me give you one of the marks of a lot of people who really have blessings from God. Consistency. They may not know it themselves, but they have been consistent, perhaps in their devotional life. In a small way, half an hour here and half an hour there. They may not have been people who can say that I have fasted 40 days, or I've gone 3 days without food and water, I've gone 7 days on the water. They may not have said that, or be able to even say that. But God is blessing their lives because there's this mark of consistency. And it's a discipline in them. It's a custom. And they may not know it, but the Word of God shows it. It's because of the consistency, sometimes promotions come into their life. Financial blessings, prosperity come. And they don't realize that it's related to their consistency. But tonight, I want you to know that it's related to consistency. We can't sort of put it together and show clearly the tie in the natural, but the tie is in the spiritual. We cannot connect how you're dragging yourself out every morning and getting down on your knees and praying perhaps 15 minutes or half an hour before God, giving thanks to God and worshipping God and perhaps reading the Word of God, and your discipline that you have done that day in, day out, week by week, month by month, year by year. But if you really have been doing that, let me say this, you probably see the blessings of God going up like a graph, going uphill. No, though you do not know it and you cannot place your finger on why God is blessing you. And you say, I'm not really that spiritual, like you hear the testimony of somebody sharing, oh, I have fasted 3 days. Oh, I have done this. Oh, I have gone into the depths of fasting. You could not say that. You could not really testify honestly that you have done that. But yet you see the hand of God on your life. Why consistency? But hold it there. We are not saying that you do not learn the other aspect too. What we learn is both. But 95% is consistency. 5% is desperado in this sense. You only use desperado in this sense. See, it is the devil. The devil attacks in cycles. Right? He cannot attack you consistently. God does not permit him to attack consistently. He attacks you in seasons and in cycles. And the only time you put in a bit more effort is not because you want to get something out from God. But it's because if the devil tries harder, you dig in harder spiritually. That is the true way that we should operate the desperado before God. So when the devil comes against Jesus with everything he had for 40 days and nights, Jesus didn't eat at all. It is not recorded that the Holy Spirit drove the Lord Jesus into the wilderness too fast. Never recorded. It's only recorded in Matthew 4, Luke 4, and Mark 1 that the Holy Spirit drove Jesus or led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And the Bible just said, and he fasted in those days. Tells you something. The purpose that God leads him is in order to confront the enemy. And when the enemy tries his biggest trick, Jesus dug in his deepest realm possible. That's how you use desperado. Not because you want to convince God, but it's more to give more time. For example, you have been living a persistent life spiritually. You're spending regularly an hour in the morning, an hour in the night, and half an hour in the middle of the day. That would, in the average, already be above average. Most people probably spend about 1 hour. The half back flat one spend about half an hour. Back flat one spend, I think, 5 minutes a year. And that's when they sing the Christmas song. And so you normally spend, let's say, 2.5 hours. Because I use the illustration because those of you who are here probably are already, you know, heading for A-type. So we're talking about A-type personalities tonight. And so you may be normally spending 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening, half an hour at noontime. That could be your normal life. And on Sundays it's different because it's, you come and you worship God the whole day and you may be going back and you're spending more time with God. But you do that normally every day in your life. And if you ever miss, it's only once in a while when there's a different type of schedule, right? And otherwise you're very, very consistent in that. Then you sense in your spirit a stronger enemy force against your life. When normally you announce you're already spending 2.5 hours, which already actually gives the enemy quite a lot of headache. And the enemy plans and schemes the day of evil for you. And so at a certain point, he really launches out against you. You pick up with one of the 5 sensations of the spirit man, you pick up. And you know, and you normally spend 2.5 hours with God, you know what you should do? During that time, and during that whole week, maybe he planned to attack you consistently for the whole week. During that week, maybe go on a stronger fast. Right? Maybe eat less. Go on a fast. Partial fast. And maybe increase it to 4 hours. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night, and half an hour in the daytime. During that week. So maybe during that week, you give up the papers. Because you sense the enemy's pressure. You could pick it up. If you're sensitive, so you could pick it up. Then the enemy will be really taken by surprise. So one devil will turn to another devil and say, hey, it's no point in hope. Before he's already attacking us 2.5 hours. Now here we are ready to bomb him. We are weapons. The guy is putting 4 hours. We better get out of here. 4.5. Hey, are you going to stay? And then when you put in 4.5 hours, you don't realize the amount of spiritual forces they are released. And if you put in more time, plus you went on a partial fast because you sense the enemy attack. See, this is what I personally share with you that I do. When I pick up in my spirit the enemy attacks in season. When I pick it up in my spirit, a stronger attack, I will almost entirely go off food or on a partial fast and just concentrate on the spirit realm and the spiritual battle. And he cannot last long. And sooner or later, because of your, that's when you use the desperado part, when you increase it. See, the underlying current should be your consistency. And when enemy comes strong, that's when I go on a stronger. He digs deeper, I dig deeper. In the end, he gives up. He says, look, if we don't attack that guy, he goes 2.5 hours. If you attack, he goes 4 hours. So, let's not disturb that guy, lah. But of course, the other time we use the desperado is when God gives an instruction. Hallelujah. See, one is defensive, the other is offensive. See, once in a while, as you're living the consistent life, because God knows you're obedient, the spirit of grace and supplication and prayer burden comes on you. And God says, hey, I need somebody to launch this huge multiple warhead missile against the enemy. And so the Lord say, there, that's my child there. And so he puts his spirit burden on you. It goes into your spirit and you sense a tightening of the spirit and you sense a call on the spirit to really reach into the spirit realm. That's when you get in. But you normally spend 2.5 hours. Now you get 6 hours in during that period that God put that special burden and call on you. And you really press in. And the enemy here already, you know, one devil talking to the other devil saying, let's not disturb him. We disturb that guy, they can't go 4 hours. So there they are disturbing somebody else who doesn't know this truth. Then they're disturbing. They turn around and look over this guy. Why? Because God is not asking that guy to begin to go on offensive. When you have the devil on the run, praise the Lord. And these are things that are taking place in the spirit realm. And we realize that consistency is the bulwark on which we build, the foundation on which we build our spiritual life. Consistency in whatever we do, we must be consistent. And Paul tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. That's talking about building a consistency in our life. Pray unceasingly. Building a consistency in our life and let it be the background, and then at the same time know that under God's direction, when the enemy puts pressure, that's when you increase too. You increase pressure in the spirit realm, you increase pressure in the spirit realm. And then when God instructs you, you voluntarily increase pressure in the spirit realm and really move into the things of God. Praise the Lord. And flow with what God wants to do in your life. So we need to be very consistent. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, where we were reading off, it tells us in verse 10 that Daniel gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. Now, since early days means from the time he was brought to Babylon. And remember what king he is under now. It is King Darius. That means he served under Nebuchadnezzar, and he served under Nebuchadnezzar's son, and he served under, you know, Cyrus and Darius. This is the next kingdom he's serving under. By that time, Daniel is an old man. He started young man, now he's an old man. He's not a boy anymore, he's not even just a middle-aged man. He's leaning on his senior years. He has been doing that consistently. And if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you notice there seems to be a special mark on Daniel, and special mark on some of those who are very consistent. Because they receive revelation that seems to be above others. See, the revelations that Daniel received are tremendous. And the angel that came to him always said, "Oh Daniel, you are greatly beloved of God." Now there were times when Daniel was desperate. Daniel knew how to fast. He fasted 21 days, remember that? And he went on a fast regarding the 70 years. Right there was under the offensive, God's spirit and burden come upon his life. But beside that, he was a consistent man. As was his custom, kneeling down before God. And now, they are going to take him and judge him and throw him in the lion's den because he committed the crime of praying consistently. So they took Daniel and they threw him, the Bible says, into the lion's den. And the king was so worried for Daniel that the king, in verse 18, did not sleep the whole night at all. And the first thing in the morning, he cried with a lamenting voice to Daniel. I mean, he loved Daniel and says, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God," now notice this word again, "whom you serve consistently, been able to deliver you from the lion?" Daniel said, "O king, live forever, because God has been with him." Look at Daniel. Some people like to be in Daniel's position. But this is where desperados will fail. You know why? Because if you are taken, you never prayed consistently before, never spent time with God before, and you are taken and thrown into the lion's den, you will need to get into the lion's den, look around at all the lions and say, "Hey, show. I'm going to learn to pray now. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh great God." One arm gone. "Be merciful to me, who is not so consistent." I don't think you even have a great chance to say, "Grr." You won't have a chance. You won't have time to pray in the lion's den if you didn't pray outside the lion's den. There's no time. Right? You may pray the wrong prayer. Like the missionary who met the lion and said, "Lord, make this lion a Christian lion." You know the story? The lion knelt down and said, "Thank you, God, for this food." And so we realized that we have to learn to pray outside of the lion's den. Then when you're in a crisis, that's what people don't understand. When you are prayed outside the crisis, when the crisis comes, you rest. So some people don't understand it. Everything. That those who are, have been very close with me sometimes ask me the question, "You're preaching this day, that day." And then they are with me and say, "How come the message is 1 hour time, you're just sitting, fellowshipping?" I say, "I don't do all my last minute preparation. My preparation is throughout the whole week. No last minute deal here." And so they say, when do you prepare? I would be hiding somewhere, you know, digging into the concordances. Say, "No, I dig in the concordances earlier. Remember when we are sharing about how to teach the word? Day when you minister, just relax. Just flow on with God." And so we don't do last minute things. We flow and we live a consistent life. And some people are just desperado. Only do it at that last minute. And really do everything. Last minute market. Muggers, what do you call that? Those who burn the midnight off. Really mark. And you get all kinds. I remember in a seminary, we have different types of students. We were all under training, right? Theologizers on the way to be theologians. And exams come. And we have some university graduates who sit through those seminary things, and the tour is tougher than university. And so we sit through all those exams, and exam time comes, we have examinations to sit through. Some of those students are desperados. During exam time, I go swimming. Say, "Hey, counselor, you can go swimming." "No problem, I'm ready to bet." You don't do last minute thing. And say, "How can you swim during the exam?" "Yes, that's when I need to relax. So my mind thinks clearly, not need to get nervous. And all my energy is used to shake my body, but not to operate my head and my mind." And so then, you know what some of them did? Some of them never slept the whole night before the paper. And they studied the whole night, burned the midnight off. You could see the lights in the room. And before the exam, I love to just relax and just go and sleep early, have an early night. And so they will burn the midnight off. I remember one occasion it happened, and that was a desperate situation. So that student who did that, the next morning we all going to our exam class, that student sat on the table and fainted. Blackout. Desperado tactic. Got to change somewhere along the line. It will never work. Not with God. So Daniel had already established his consistency. And if you have been praying about some areas in your life and they have not been moving, perhaps it could be because you only pray, like in Malay you say, "Suka suka." Once in a while you pray about it. "Lord help me," you say that, don't forget. Once in a while, no. You will never get the really good answer unless you discipline and you pray. I challenge you in the name of the Lord. If you are praying for your loved one, why not you fix a time or a day, weekly or daily? Why not stop using the desperado tactics and use the consistent tactics? I challenge you to set aside a time. Perhaps every day, perhaps once a week, where you pray especially for the family. People don't know it, but every Saturday I set my time for the ministry. No, I don't set Saturday to prepare for Sunday. No, I prepare for Sunday the whole week. But Saturday is where I seek the Lord for more grace for ministry. More grace for my whole life. It's my day with the Lord, where I seek Him for my whole entire ministry until I meet Him again. That's my date with my Lord. See, God prefers lovers to beggars. Desperados are beggars. When they have a need, tolong, 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 tolong. Beggars. But lovers make day. Hallelujah. Say, God, let me make a date with you, to meet you at such and such a day, such and such a time. Let me fellowship with you regarding this matter. Let me seek your mind on that matter, and you see the difference. You know, you've been praying using desperado tactics for your family, for your work, for your business, for your school, examination, all this. Change your style and put consistency in. And that's where the overnight prayer is going to help you. Because if you have a consistency, it's going to burst forth mightily in your life. Because it helps build consistency in your life. And that's at the second level where we realize, in the end, we need to build consistency until we are self-motivating. We don't need somebody else to motivate us to do it. We could build a spiritual engine inside that will be like clockwork. We will do that all the time. That's why we close with the book of James, chapter 5. Book of James, chapter 5. We read again this wonderful statement that he made on prayer. He says in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, fervent means with all earnestness, but effective carries with it the meaning of persistency and consistency. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that seeketh after God, and God, it says God rewards those must believe, those who seek after God must believe that He is. For God rewards those who seek Him diligently. Seek Him. Now, it's different to seek Him and diligently seek Him. It's two different things we're talking about. God doesn't just reward those who seek Him. God rewards those who diligently, with great discipline. The word diligent means with discipline, with consistency, with accuracy, with persistence, continually come before Him. And if you will begin to apply consistency, you could literally say, after some time maturing consistency, say that everything you pray that was in line with the Word is answered. Because you learn to apply consistency. Not one thing will go unanswered. God has never said no to any of His promises. If you believe in it, you believe what He says, and you consistently, sometimes you have to be consistent for quite long, but if you were consistently, persistently, diligently, with great discipline, do it, you will always see all, not just one or two or three, but all the prayers answered. Whatever you desire for your life, in the ministry, in your business, in your personal life, all that's in line with His perfect will and plan, always get answered. Consistency, discipline. That's what we're gathered tonight to do, to continue the discipline of prayer. It changes all things. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bow before You and give You the worship, give You glory, and give You honor. We ask, O God, that You would forgive our lives for coming to You only when we need You. For You are looking not for beggars, but for lovers, Lord. People who will love You and who will consistently, whether they have a need or not, whether they are in a crisis or not, but they will consistently come to You just to be with You, just to fellowship with You. Father, we just want to move into the excellence of the depth of prayer. And we ask, O Father God, that You would touch the very core of our life, so that as we persistently and consistently tonight pray in the Spirit, move into the realm of the Spirit, worship and travail in the things of God, that we will build that discipline into our daily life. At first we may do it weekly, then it becomes daily and yearly, Lord, in our life. Father, we know there is a lot of areas You wish to bless us, You wish to pour upon our life. And we ask, oh Father God, that You would impress each one here and those under the sound of my voice to be diligent, Lord, to be disciplined in season and out of season, in good times and in trying times, in hard times, in times of ease, alone or with others, that we will develop a discipline, Father, and a consistency into our life, so that we would always, O God, grow more and more in You, and that You would touch our hearts, that we become lovers of God. People who love You, not because of what You can do, but love You because of who You are. Father, we want to love You. We want to be those who just love to fellowship with You, who just enjoy the glory of Your presence, just to be with You, Father, and be forever in love with You more and more. Every week as we spend time with You, we love You more. And we keep falling in love with You more and more, day, each hour, each minute, Lord. And our love abounds, O Father, in You. Father, we glorify You. You all the worship, honor, and praise. Seal, Seal your word upon his life, Father. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's all rise together. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He grows sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, our love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He grows sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, our love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him. Oh,